It's Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. The Colorado State Fair wraps up Monday, and for hundreds of kids, fair time means serious competition. They come to Pueblo to show their 4-H projects. But 4-H isn't just about chickens, pigs, horses, and cattle, and it's not just for farm kids anymore. After 100 years in Colorado, 4-H has projects that might surprise you, like rocketry.
Guys are free of all low-flying aircraft. System is armed. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start. System is unarmed.
Dozens of 4-Hers turned a dusty rodeo arena at the state fair into a launch pad for their small rockets. Science and technology projects are part of 21st century 4-H, and 4-Hers don't just live on farms on the eastern plains. Most live in Front Range communities. They're like 13-year-old David Lee Schmidt of Elizabeth. We caught up with him at a creative cooking competition. He does other 4-H projects as well, like mechanics.
I'm doing these projects because I really like to build things and work with electronics, and I plan on going into NASA.
Well, here with us is the director of 4-H in Colorado, Jeff Goodwin. He's here to talk with us about what's going on with 4-H as it celebrates 100 years in this state. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here today and talk a little bit about 4-H.
And how did 4-H get started in Colorado?
Well, it actually started in 1910. A university agriculturalist went out in the state and created boys' corn clubs. They created 53 of them that year, and the purpose of those corn clubs was to help transfer some knowledge, some new technology in the way of using hybrid corn. And so those corn clubs, those kids were raising 200 bushel an acre corn where their parents were raising 17 bushel per acre corn. So the adults were real hesitant to use this new technology, so they used the young people to transfer that technology out to the public, and it was a great success story.
In other words, that more successful corn caught on?
Correct. And this all happened in most states 4, 5, 6 years before the extension system was even in place. Extension wasn't formalized until 1914. So 4-H actually was the precursor to modern extension systems.
Just to be clear, extension essentially is the arm of a university, of a research institution, into the community. So this was a way of conveying cutting-edge research to the people.
That's exactly right, and that's why it's called extension. You extend that public knowledge out to that university knowledge out to the public.
How much later or earlier or not did 4-H get its start in Colorado than the rest of the country?
There are a few states that claim a little earlier, like 1902 was kind of the first year that 4-H programs started popping up in some states, like Texas and Iowa, and some other states claim about that kind of a start year.
And then 4-H evolves beyond corn clubs, doesn't it?
Yeah, after the corn clubs, then they started introducing some tomato clubs, some girls' canning clubs, because back in that period of time, canning home produce was very important, and so they created tomato clubs for the girls to be involved. And shortly after that's when they all evolved into 4-H programs, 4-H clubs.
I know you know this like the back of your hand, but remind us what the 4-H's are. I recall having to memorize this when I was in 4-H as a kid.
So head, heart, hands, and health. And actually, 4-H started out with only 3 H's, and the first three, and then the fourth H was recommended, and they originally wanted the fourth H to stand for hustle. And that got voted down, and they replaced it with health.
Okay. Of course, the population has become increasingly urban, and 4-H has had to change with the population.
In this state, the rural parts of the state are really dependent on 4-H. In some of our rural counties on the eastern plains today, we'll have 25% or 30% of the 4-H age kids enrolled in organized 4-H clubs, and that's huge. But when we look toward the Front Range, that number's certainly not there. And we're making a big effort right now in the Denver metro area to offer the 4-H program to more youth in the Denver area. So I think it's important.
We heard in the introduction some examples of of the kinds of projects 4-H is involved in, rocketry, robotics, that may appeal to a child growing up in the suburbs.
Yeah, we like to say these days that 4-H is more than just cows and cooking. So we do offer all kinds of projects, so you don't have to have a place for an animal, a computer program, a GPS, GIS programs. Robotics is a new project for us. We just had a new pilot project for the last 2 years, lightning photography. We're going to have about 18 lightning photos that have been taken by 4-H kids around the state that will be on exhibit in the Denver Museum of Nature and Science next year. So that's kind of a new venture for us. It's kind of a cross between art project, the artist part of photography, and the science part of that lightning photography. So it's kind of an interesting program.
Can you go out safely and take photographs of lightning?
Now, that's one of the things we teach kids is about lightning safety. We want these lightning photos to be taken from inside a residence or inside a vehicle. So you're not standing out in the middle of a field in a lightning storm. So that's one of the things that they learn is lightning safety.
Now, in some parts of the state, Future Farmers of America, or FFA, is really is really big. Like, how does FFA and 4-H, how do they interact?
We actually provide the FFA organization with, I think, a majority of their members. A lot of those members come up through the 4-H program, and then when they get high school age, they either just go FFA. A lot of kids do both, 4-H and FFA, during their high school years. And we try to work very close together with the FFA program in the state, and I think it's a good working relationship we have.
Well, in a century in Colorado, what difference do you think 4-H has made, Jeff?
Oh, it's huge. We just implemented our 4-H Hall of Fame, and we've taken some notable people that have done notable accomplishments. One of the people we highlighted in our Hall of Fame this year is the newly retired chief of the Colorado State Patrol, and Mark Trostel. He always, in his speeches to the public, he says he would have never been the chief of the Highway Patrol if it weren't for 4-H, with the leadership skills that he learned in that program. And several other people that we inducted in our Hall of Fame this year include U.S. Congressman Ben Nighthorse Campbell, Wayne Allard, several people like that. And they all attribute their success in public service to their leadership skills they developed in 4-H. We inducted Temple Grandin in the Hall of Fame. She was in the 4-H Horse Project as a young girl, and she tells me that horses and the 4-H Horse Project is what brought her out of her autistic shell. So these 11 people in our Hall of Fame this year, they all attribute their success in life to the 4-H program. So it's a significant impact we have.
Jeff, nice to speak with you.
Good to speak with you.
Jeff Goodwin is the director of 4-H in Colorado, which is 100 this year.